Good afternoon, and welcome once again to Stage Talk, KSKA's window onto the world of the performing arts right here in South Central Alaska. I'm Steve Hunt, your host. Glad to have you along on this Friday afternoon. Today, my show is a little different. We're not going to be talking about a particular show that's opening up. We're going to be talking about one of those areas of theater that is often overlooked, but is always there. That area is scene design and technology. And I have two gentlemen here today who are masters of both these areas, who work constantly in Anchorage and are always creating that world the play exists. I'm talking about Dan Carlgren, who is the assistant professor of theater and designer at UAA, Department of Theater and Dance. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We also have Brian Saylor on the show. Brian has been designing sets at ACT and Cyrano's and probably every theater in town here. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks. Good to be here.
It's great having you on just to talk about scene design and technology, and so we can kind of introduce you to our audience. I've got one question I want to ask both of you to start out with, and that is, how did you get started in this? I mean, a lot of people who go into theater initially go in to become a star on stage. They want to be on Broadway and perform, but there are those people who want to go into theater from the scene design and technology area. Brian, how did you get involved in this?
Steve, I was an afterthought. Years ago, in 1979, Bob Pond was doing an ACT production of Lady House Blues, and my wife, Pam, he wanted her. He wanted Pam. There was no role for me. And so he said, well, let's see if we can use this guy as a something else. And it was a stage manager and an offstage barker of something or other, a fishmonger. So I did it. And I had worked as in management and production, but on different issues before. And it turned out that I could do that. So over the years, I'd worked with Bob on show after show in the old days. And finally, when we were in the Little Theater on 70th Street, he was doing a production of Death of a Salesman. And he said, well, you've been around this stuff now for 15 years. Why don't you try to design this one for me? And I did. And that was that. And I think since then, I've probably done close to 100 sets in town.
That sounds like a— that's Bob Pond for you, though.
Bob Pond, right. Yeah. Boy, we miss him.
We do. And Dan, how did you get involved in this world of scene design and technology?
So I've been working in theater since I was a small kid. In college, my freshman year of college, I was playing football, and I blew my knee out. Started getting a job at the theater there in the scene shop, and started working for a gentleman who had worked for Universal Studios before, and he was the head designer on the Miami Vice stunt shows down at the park. And at 19, I was thrust into this world of technical direction and building and props and scenery, and that basically turned into what has become almost a 25-year career for me. I've worked in every aspect of technical theater and design. My specialty lies in technical direction and automation for theater. I have an undergraduate degree from Southern Oregon University. I taught there afterwards, 3 years at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And then about 10 years in between a one-year stint at Penn State for grad school and then 2 years at University of Oregon to finish up in 2012, where I worked in rock and roll, opera, everything from Central City Opera to I was the automation designer on Julie Taymor's Grendel at the LA Opera, and I did the Broadway test show for Aladdin. So I've been doing it for a long time now, but being up here at the university's been a fantastic experience.
Sounds like both of you are very much into this and not bored at all, are you?
No.
No.
Keeps
no.
you on your toes. You know, when an audience comes to see a performance, a play or an opera or even rock and roll, they are seeing that thing that says, of course I am here and this is where I am. But when you two get a show, you walk into the theater and there is a blank slate there. There's a bare stage. There are so many ways you approach a play, but Brian, let me start with you. What's one way that you approach your creation of that world of the play?
I find that there's an awful lot of piggybacking that we all do with people who have struggled with the same issues on how to mount a particular production. So there are solutions that appear to work. Very smart people have been working on this stuff for a long time. At the end of almost every script, there is, in the back few pages, there's a typical floor plan. Either it was the floor plan that was put together by the people that did the initial production. But there's also an awful lot of stuff on the internet. So looking at the script, seeing where the entrances and exits are, where the important positions are, where the playing areas need to be, and how much space needs to be in between them, along with other solutions, gives you a pretty good sense of how you can shoehorn a particular production into a particular space. What I like to do is to do a preliminary floor plan and then build a model, a little model. Usually campaign signs are the best outcomes of many political campaigns. And so we can put together a model and immediately the directors can see, well, this isn't going to work, or I like this. And all it is masking tape and hot glue, and we can rearrange it on the spot. And then typically I build the model for the director.
In fact, Brian and I have worked together on some shows, and I always appreciate those models because it gives me as a director that three-dimension idea of what the set is going to be like, which is fun to play with. Oh, Dan, how do you start? How do you begin? What's your starting point?
So obviously everything for me starts with the script, right? The story is the most important part. I tend to, myself and also in my teaching, there's two things that I tell my designers not to do, and that's opposite of kind of what you were saying. And it's not one way is the right way or the other way, but we don't look at those floor plans and we don't look at anything on the internet that had been designed before. Because part of what I'm trying to do is open their minds to creating that large three-dimensional sculpture that works for a specific story, right? And with us, we're working in things that are representational, presentational, and everywhere in between. So when it's a realistic play, obviously there are some specific things that you need to know. If you're doing noises off, there's got to be eight doors, there's got to be this, there's got to be that, right? But if we're doing like Les Estrada, which we're going to be doing next year, that's much more open to interpretation, as is Shakespeare, which I worked on with you right. A couple years back. So the way that I work these days, I used to do a lot of model building, but I work digitally now. Mm-hmm. So everything I do is in 3D. It's all done in Vectorworks. I then use programs like Photoshop to create that kind of realistic three-dimensional world. And so my renderings feel like they're hand-painted when I show them. And then I can also go into Vectorworks and basically fly you around anywhere you want to be in the space.
Sounds like a fun thing to do. And wow. For those just tuning in, this is Stage Talk. My guests are Dan Carlgren, who was the designer at UAA, and Brian Saylor, who's a designer at every other theater in town. And we're talking about stage design and technology. Dan, you mentioned something here that I want to touch on, and that is what some people call the ism.
Yeah.
And Brian, you always said you create great realistic sets, which you do. The ism has to do with the style of the play. Do you ever go against what the ism may be from a director's desires or from perhaps what the script says? Brian, have you ever worked against that?
Typically, no. And I think the major difference between an educational opportunity and a community theater is that we're working with people who are doing this because they want the experience. And we're not trying to shoehorn them into something that they don't want to do, especially a director. So if a director doesn't like something, I would certainly never insist that it be my way. I agree with you that the purpose of the set is not to dominate the production. The production, the story dominates, and so we'll move toward the director's vision. and not the designer's vision.
Exactly. And Dan, a moment ago, you mentioned the 12th night that we worked on together. And that was a really interesting experience because, well, tell us what we did. And I was directing 12th night for UAA. And right. Dan came to me and said.
So, yeah, we decided early on, I think even before you had been brought on as a director. I don't quite remember.
You had talked about this idea before.
Yeah,
that,
so right? I brought this idea to the university. We were going to do a Shakespeare-themed season. And so I spent just over a month studying in London and going through the archives in Stratford and basically putting together an arsenal of information for myself to design a facade. And we actually designed and built a facade on stage that was loosely based on the Rose Theater, which is what Twelfth Night would have, I think, premiered in. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to put it on stage. The cool thing about it is we started early enough. And so I was able to give Steve almost all of the bones of that before you even started rehearsal, which I think allowed that to become part of your show and is very similar to what would have happened during Shakespeare's time.
Exactly, because I didn't come to Dan and say, I want this and this and this. Dan gave me the space, and then I had to figure out how to work it. And Brian, that was somewhat similar with our production of the musical comedy Murders of 1940. You read that script and you created that world. But again, for me as a director, I had to come in and I had to play in your world. You know, you create it for me, and I've got to come in and play there.
But there are certain things, I'm sure, that we had in common in that show. There are a whole lot of gee whiz things, walls that move back and forth and spin around and people disappear very quickly. And so all of those little devices needed to be created. And I think that you were very, very clear about what needed to happen and when. And so there are only a certain number of options that you have in a small theater like ACT where you can have enough space to host some of those different devices, walls that turn around mm-hmm. and bookshelves that slide back and forth and create all these little hidey holes where people can disappear.
I'm going to ask a question that no designer wants to hear. Budget. Because budget is one of those things that always can limit or free you to do what you want to do. The question I want to ask is, do you find yourself freed by having more money or limited by having more money? Or has that ever happened to you that you had all the money you wanted?
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting question. I mean, I've worked on theater from, you know, $2.5 million sets down to $100. And I think that, you know, as a designer, we have to look at that budget, obviously. But it's also what I teach my designers as well, is like, design what you want. Let the technical director decide whether or not that budget's going to work, right?
Pass it on to the technical director.
At the university, we do a lot of sustainability. So we save a lot of materials. In 6 years, I'm very proud to say that we've never really gone over budget on a single show. And some shows, because of some of the relationships I've made in town with vendors, we've been able to come in 50% under budget on a lot of those shows.
I hate to cut us off here. We could talk for hours, sure. But we're out of time. I'm so sorry to say we're out of time for the show. Brian Saylor, thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure.
Dan Carlgren, thank you so much for being on the show. Let's continue this conversation in the community. Let's keep talking about scene design and technology in the community.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Let's do that.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this week on Stage Talk. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.